Well, I had a pastor write to me early this morning at like 5:30 and say, I'm praying for you today as you preach. And I was very thankful for that. And I was able to respond to him, well, John, I'm well prepared for this Sunday. And I think God has given me fresh bread from heaven to share with people. And it's good ground. If you're thinking in a military term, it's a good ground to fight a good battle. So that's what we're going to dive in today as we study God's word together. Let's pray as we start. Father, we do thank you for this day, this opportunity, again, to take a peek at your word and to see what you have prepared for us to understand, to know, and to apply to our lives. We know, Father, that this is a lifelong process of learning, of applying it, and knowing you better. And we look forward to today that this will be part of that process. We thank you, God, that you have promised that you will be with us to the very end of the age. And that includes today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles, please turn to me to Romans chapter 1. And I'll be reading verses 18 through 32. It's a long passage, so we won't stand today. But I'll give you a break this week. Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 32. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness, since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Verse 24. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, he gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents, and they are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. Well, it's a good passage to study. I think it's a very practical passage that deals with what we face in the world today and what the church was dealing with in Rome in the first century. How do you react to the words, "The court finds you guilty as charged"? You feel that wind going out of your lungs? Oh, no, I'm guilty as charged. It's not easy to admit that we're wrong, is it? Ever. I mean, ever is it easy to admit we're wrong. And this passage begins a section of Romans that will finish in Romans 3:20 that talks about condemnation. Different groups are condemned before God because of their unbelief. And this passage deals with why Gentiles need the gospel. Gentiles, that's you and me. I don't see any Jewish guys in here. But Gentiles, you and me, why we need the gospel. Are people without Christ really lost? Do they need the gospel? You know, if you were to ask 100 people today, what's wrong with this world that we live in? What answers do you imagine you would receive? Lots of stuff, right? You know, sometimes people need to hear the bad news before the good news in order to realize that, hey, maybe I need to call a doctor. I was talking to my oldest son about some things that happened the last couple of weeks. He said, Dad, you know, next time call the police. You know, what you're describing is really pretty bad. So next time, Dad, just call the police. People call the police all the time. But others don't because they don't realize that they need the police. Just call the police. But lots of people don't realize that they're separated from God. They need a doctor. Or they need to respond to the gospel. God, through the presentation of the gospel, is revealing two things according to verses 17 and 18. He's revealing righteousness and he's revealing wrath. And both of them come from one place. They come from heaven. It's an amazing thing when a person receives the gospel, isn't it? He is declared, when he does that, he's declared righteous by his faith. And that's a glorious time when God transforms that person into something that's totally new, something that's called, described as a new creation by the Bible. But when a person rejects the gospel, it says the wrath of God is constantly revealed. This is a standing thing. It's continuous tense, present continuing tense. The wrath of God is being continually revealed. It's not wrath like we probably think of anger, of human anger, of, you know, people who blow up about things. It's not rational. This is the Greek word orge, which means like a type of anger that has been built up, is the response of people going against the law of God. It's fair anger. It's justified because God has said that that type of belief or that type of behavior, that type of lifestyle is wrong. We shouldn't be surprised by the Bible talking about God being a God of wrath. It actually speaks more about God's anger than it does about God's love. But we tend to focus on the verses that talk about God's love, don't we? It also speaks about God's anger. For instance, Hebrews 12:29 says, our God is a consuming fire. Or Hebrews 10:31, it says, it's a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. A dreadful thing. God judges godlessness. God judges godlessness. That's irreverence towards God, sin against the very being of God. And God judges wickedness towards men, sin against the will of God. As I studied this week what the culture was like in Rome, both of those things would have been very prevalent. You know, the Romans were very sure that this new God, this Christian God, was not the true God. So they worshiped all other kinds of things. So they were against this very being, what our God is like. And have any of you ever been to Rome? One of the things that we saw in Rome, we visited, was the Colosseum. You know, there were 500,000 people that were murdered in the Colosseum in Rome, fed to lions, you know, made to fight other gladiators. So you can see how the people would have said right away, oh, wickedness towards God, wickedness towards men. I see this all around me. And of course, today in our culture, we're progressing or degressing that way too, aren't we? An ungodliness towards God and a wickedness towards men. You know, the gospel has not changed God's attitude towards sin. We see God's hatred of sin in both the Old and the New Testaments, but the gospel has made it possible for sinners to be saved from their sin. It's good news. We are people of good news that Jesus went to the cross and died for our sins, rose from the dead, and by putting our faith in his sacrifice for us, we might have eternal life. That's the good news. Well, let's look today at this passage. And there are three methods of refusing to know God that are spoken about in this passage. And that kind of answers the question, why? Why is God's anger displayed? And there's also three consequences of not wanting to know God that are spoken about. And that is the what. Why and what is spoken about throughout these verses. First of all, let's look at the why that we find in verse 18. They suppress the truth by their wickedness. Three methods of refusing to know God. Verse 18 says, "The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the ungodliness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness." And we can translate this word suppress as hold down or keep a grip on or resist what God says. They suppress truth. The more their consciences warn them, the more this person hardens himself against God. It's kind of like the fool that's talked about in Psalm 14 and Psalm 53, who is constantly trying to convince himself that there isn't a God, that God isn't. He's inclined to follow sin and resist God's calling on his life. The word picture here is this word suppress, and it pictures a man. I have all this junk up here today. I do this for a reason. You just don't store things here, but there's a reason for this. And the picture there is this guy who's trying to keep a lid on this jar so that the truth of God doesn't come out. Keep the lid on, press it down. The Czech word is protlačia, put pressure on it, keep it in that space. And that's what the idea there is, that they try to suppress, keep down the truth about God so that whatever is inside of that jar cannot escape. Sin keeps the world from working as God intended it to. The sin of people don't respond to the gospel. When they do that, it prevents the world from being a better place than it could be. They suppress the truth by their wickedness. That's why the wrath of God is revealed. That's the first why. The second why is they ignore revelation. Look at verses 19 and 20. "Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them, For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. Paul here is speaking about general revelation from nature, God made his being and his power plain to people. Meaning, and this word plain means clear or visible, so that they are without excuse. And there's this famous Czech guy named Kepler. And one of the things that he discovered that's kind of useful for us is that the world is round. So Johann Kepler discovered that. He was an astronomer. And he had a saying about guys who studied the stars. He said, you know, a person who's an astrologer and studies the stars and doesn't believe that God is real is crazy. He just said, that's what he said. It's crazy because you can see the glory of God revealed in the stars. God has enveloped us in the evidence of his handiwork. His creation is all around us. You can't read this verses 19 and 20, without thinking about Grace College and Grace Seminary. They're really focused a lot on that verse and understanding it. Psalm 19:1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands." John Calvin, in thinking about this issue in these verses, said, and he wrote, "By saying that God has made this clear, Paul writes, or Paul means, that man was created to be a spectator of this formed world, and that eyes were given to this man, to man, that he might, by looking on such a beautiful picture, be led to the author, to God himself." God's anger, God's wrath is revealed because people suppress the truth by their wickedness. God's anger is revealed because they ignore revelation, what God has made clear all around us every day. They ignore that. The third reason why God's anger is revealed is because they pervert God's glory. Look at verses 21 through 23. "For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles." You know, from the time of Adam and Eve, man knew God. But they turned from the very purpose that God had created them. The purpose was to glorify God and to give thanks to him. And their thinking became worthless, purposeless. And progressively, they became fools, morally senseless. They rejected the truth, and then their ability to recognize truth also became damaged. Their view of God became distorted and reduced to something that's called idolatry, something that's not what God is like. It's something that men have made. They worship these idols. One of the things we visited several times when we were in Europe was the Pergamum Museum. It's in Berlin, Germany. Has anybody here ever been to the Pergamum Museum in Germany? Well, it is a huge museum, and it contains a part of the wall of Babylon. So the Ishkar Gate is in that museum. It's purple, and it's huge. So you can imagine what that was like all around the city of Babylon. That's one of the things that's contained in that museum. Another thing that's contained there is the altar from the pagan altar at Pergamum. And the reason why these two things are there is because in the like 1890s, it was believed in Europe that you had to have artifacts in order to be an empire. So the Germans went out and got all this evil stuff and brought it into their country so that they could be seen as a real nation. Well, I think that this pagan altar that they brought there is spoken about in the Bible in Revelation 2:13. And Revelation 2:13 talks about Satan's throne being in Pergamum. And that altar is evil when you look at it. It's just, you look at it and it's fascinating. It catches your eye. It's the best, I think, that man can create with their evilness. There are men worshiping sticks and stones, carving out of the stone shapes of animals and men, worshiping creeping things, a perversion of God's glory. Fascinating to look at, but you get this feeling on the inside that this is just plain evil. This is evil. So that's what men have done, is they have taken something that was beautiful and wonderful, God's glory, and perverted it. And therefore, God's wrath is revealed, is constantly revealed from heaven against them. So that answers the question, why? Why is God's anger revealed from heaven? Why? Those three reasons. Suppression of the truth, ignoring revelation, and perverting God's glory. Those three reasons are given. Now let's look at the what. What happens when God's wrath is revealed from heaven? There are three things that happen. First of all, God gave them over to the lust of their hearts. Something happens to the hearts of men. Look at verses 24 and 25. Therefore, God gave them over to the sinful desires of their hearts, to sexual impurity, for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. So he gave them over to the lusts of their hearts. Heart is the key word here, and we're going to see this word, he gave them over, repeated three times. It's in verses 24, verses 26, and verse 28. And you see like a progression through this passage. It gets increasingly worse as we read on. But the first thing that we see is that God gave them over to the lusts of their hands. So the idea there is God withdrew his restraining and protective hand of love and grace. He released their grip upon them, kind of like that. He allowed their own sin to have its way with them. There's this short step from idolatry to immorality. Usually there's a combination when you have this false worship of God. But here you see this in this passage, a step from idolatry to immorality. The woman and her husband, woman Jezebel and her husband Ahab, seems to be an example of the sins that are mentioned in this context. They both had heard about the true God of Israel, hadn't they? The prophets specifically came and talked to them and witnessed to them and confronted them about the sin that they were doing in their lives. And yet they rejected the true God and they followed other gods. They killed God's prophets. They worshiped created things. And they exchanged the truth of God for a lie. And we see how their lives ended up, don't we? We see what happened to them. God gave them over to the lusts of their hearts. That's the first step in this progress, in this procession. Secondly, God gives them over to the degrading passions of their bodies. Look at verses 26 and 27. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. So God gives them over to the degrading passions of their bodies. We see what happened to their hearts. Now we see what happens to their bodies as they reject God's truth. God permitted them to go on in their sins and reap the sad consequences. The sins here, the passions here, are described as being degrading or being dishonoring. These men and women, with their homosexual activities, lowered the dignity of humanity. You know, sex between a husband and his wife is a gift. It's a gift from God to be enjoyed. It was created to honor God, and the life that he has created for man and woman in marriage. But some women have, or some people have, twisted this wonderful gift into something that's subhuman. God said that for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they shall be one flesh. The man and his wife, it says, were both naked, and they felt no shame. That's Genesis 2, 24 and 25. It's been that way from the very beginning. God puts limits upon this relationship in order to bless us and to bring honor to him. And there is no penalty in this relationship between a man and his wife. He said they were both naked and he felt no shame in that relationship. It's not the same in a homosexual relationship. There's shame that people feel because it's not God's will for anyone. So the what? God gave them over to the lusts of their hearts. God gives them over to the degrading passions of their bodies. And thirdly, God gives them over to a depraved mind. We see that in verses 28 through the end of the chapter. It says, furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, and then it's going to repeat this phrase that's in the other two sections, he gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. They have been filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, and depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil, and they disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. God turned them over. He stopped confronting their conscience and turned them loose to themselves. Their hearts, their bodies, and their minds, finally their minds had become defiled. They're filled up totally with every kind of evil and unwilling or unable to see that it's wrong. I remember I was in Czech language class in Prague, and the teacher that we had a really kind, nice lady the first semester that we had our Czech classes. You know, everybody flocked to her classes. There were more students than there were seats. But then the second teacher we got was mean. I mean, she was evil. And after like 2 weeks, the class from 30 became two people, Cindy and me. We're the only ones left. And she said, well, I'd like for you to bring, you know, something in and just read it to me. And so I read Romans 1 to her. And she was not a happy teacher. And all she did was look at me and said, I don't understand what you're talking about. I don't understand. Not ya ne rozumim, is what she said in Czech. It's because her heart was darkened that she couldn't understand what I was talking about. It wasn't just my pronunciation, but it was probably pretty bad too. It's a combination of those things. But Paul lists 24 different sins in this passage, but it also includes that they encourage others to sin, and they invent ways to sin. Some people ask, what is the wrath of God like? And the wrath of God also includes abandonness. God removes all the restraining forces and his love from his relationship to us. And he lets sinners wander in their sins. When they refuse the gospel, when people refuse the gospel, he gives them up. People. And today we're talking about Gentiles, you and me, are lost without the gospel. I think that passage kind of explains it pretty clearly, that people act the way they act because they're lost. They don't know Jesus because they're lost. They're distant. They've been separate. They're separate from him. So if you were one of those 100 people that I asked, what's wrong with the world today? What would have you written? What would have you said that is the main thing that's wrong with the world today? You know, maybe this week, God will use you to straighten out a part of God's world. Maybe there'll be one person that comes to you with a question about God or about why you act the way you do. My granddaughter's always curious about me. She always asks, Grandpa, why do you do that? Why do you say that? You know, what are you doing? Because she can't understand. And I have to take the time and tell her, well, Mira, it's this way. Grandpa does it because, well, he's old, but also because he does it this way. That's why your dad doesn't do it that way. But, you know, God will use you to straighten out a part of his world that he has designed specifically and prepared specifically for you this week, in order that someone might come to know Christ and receive the gospel message. The gospel is the most important thing in the book of Romans, and it's the most important thing in our lives, the gospel message. We'll close with just this last question. Have you received the gospel? Have you said yes to Jesus? Have you opened up your mind and your heart? What did I talk about? The heart, the body, the mind to Jesus' control. That's what it's all about. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for this day that you've given to us.